The air atop the Mogollon Rim carries a specific biting chill once the sun drops behind the jagged silhouette of the Ponderosa Pines. It is a place of immense, silent beauty, where the elevation reaches over 7,000 feet, and the distance between civilization and the wilderness feels absolute. On that particular evening in late September of 2023, the wind moved through the canyons with a low, persistent whistle that masked the smaller sounds of the forest floor. The campsite was situated far back from the main Forest Service roads, tucked into a clearing that offered a panoramic view of the valley floor. Stretching toward the southern horizon, a thin plume of smoke still drifted from the center of the camp, rising in a straight line toward the stars before being caught and scattered by the breeze. The silence of the high country is rarely broken by anything more significant than the snap of a dry branch or the distant call of an elk. Yet the stillness of this specific site felt heavy and unnatural. Scattered around the perimeter were the remnants of a typical weekend excursion, including collapsed nylon chairs, a half-empty cooler, and the dark outline of a vehicle parked haphazardly near the edge of the clearing. It was within this isolated stretch of Arizona wilderness that the quiet was permanently shattered by a sudden violent confrontation that left the mountain air thick with the scent of copper and spent gunpowder. The first responders who navigated the treacherous logging roads in the early hours of the morning found the landscape transformed from a place of recreation into a meticulously preserved crime scene. Lying amidst the pine needles and the cold ash of the fire was the body of 41-year-old Stephen Bengel. I arrived at the scene as the sun began to crest over the rim, casting long, distorted shadows across the forest floor that made every rock and root look like a piece of evidence. My initial walkthrough of the perimeter revealed a scene that had been rapidly abandoned by everyone except the victim. Stephen Bengel had traveled to this remote location with a man he considered a close friend, Robert Pineda, with the intention of spending a few days hunting and camping under the vast Arizona sky. The two men had a history that stretched back several years, built on a shared interest in the outdoors and the rugged lifestyle of the Southwest. However, the physical evidence at the site suggested that the camaraderie of the trip had deteriorated into something far more sinister long before the first shot was fired. We found multiple shell casings scattered near the passenger side of the truck, indicating a localized struggle or a sudden ambush that left the victim with no room to retreat. The tracks in the dirt showed a frantic movement patterns, consistent with a person trying to find cover behind the thin trunks of the nearby trees. As I processed the campsite, I noted that the gear was split between the two men with a precision that suggested they had been operating as a team until the very moment of the fracture. Pineda was no longer at the scene when the authorities arrived, having fled the mountain in a vehicle that was later spotted descending the rim at a high rate of speed. The timeline we reconstructed from the initial forensics suggested the shooting occurred in the late evening hours, when the darkness would have been near total. The investigation quickly moved from the cold dirt of the campsite to the digital trail left behind by both men in the weeks leading up to the trip. I spent hours reviewing the communication logs and social media interactions that defined the relationship between Stephen and Robert. It became clear through these records that a deep-seated resentment had been festering within Pineda, fueled by a perceived slight regarding a woman they both knew. The jealousy was not loud or explosive in their text exchanges, but rather a low, steady hum of passive-aggressive inquiries and sudden bursts of redirected anger. Stephen appeared to be largely unaware of the depth of this animosity, responding to Panita's messages with the casual tone of a man who believed his friendship was on solid ground. We tracked Panita's movements through cell tower pings that placed him in the Coconino National Forest at the exact time of the murder, effectively ending any possibility that he had left the mountain earlier in the day. Witness statements gathered from other campers in the general vicinity mentioned hearing loud voices echoing through the trees, followed by the distinct, rhythmic cracks of a high-caliber firearm. One individual reported seeing a white truck matching the description of Panetta's vehicle, speeding toward the highway without its headlights on. This behavior suggested a level of consciousness of guilt that matched the brutal reality of what we found at the campsite. My team and I worked to secure the area, knowing that the terrain itself often swallowed evidence if it was not collected before the afternoon winds picked up. The most damning piece of evidence surfaced during the forensic sweep of the electronic devices recovered after Panita was taken into custody. Among the items was a recording device that had been active during a portion of the evening, capturing the chilling transition from a verbal dispute to a lethal encounter. I sat in a quiet room and listened to the audio, which began with the mundane sounds of a campfire crackling and the clinking of glass bottles. The conversation started out low, almost a mumble, before Panetta's voice rose in pitch and intensity, as he began to confront Stephen about personal grievances that had nothing to do with their hunting trip. The recording captured the sound of the wind whipping against the microphone, but beneath the environmental noise, the tension in the voices was unmistakable. Stephen could be heard trying to de-escalate the situation, his voice calm and weary, as he repeatedly asked his friend to put the weapon down and talk through the issue. There was a long period of silence on the tape, where the only sound was the heavy breathing of two men standing in the dark, separated by a divide that could no longer be bridged. Then, the audio captured the metallic click of a safety being disengaged, followed by the sharp, concussive blasts that echoed off the canyon walls. The recording continued for several minutes after the shots, capturing the sound of footsteps crunching on the dry needles and the engine of a truck turning over and idling in the stillness. It was a cold, mechanical witness to the final moments of a man's life, stripped of any narrative or emotion, leaving only the raw facts of the violence. Beyond the audio, the forensic evidence gathered from the vehicle and Pineda's clothing provided a biological map of the crime that was impossible to refute. We found high-velocity blood spatter on the interior door panel of the truck, which indicated that the victim was in close proximity to the vehicle when the first rounds were fired. The ballistics report confirmed that the fragments recovered from Stephen's body matched the handgun found in Pineda's possession at the time of his arrest. I spent a significant amount of time reviewing the autopsy findings, which detailed a trajectory of fire that suggested the victim was moving away from his attacker in a defensive posture. There were no signs that Stephen had brandished a weapon or attempted to return fire, characterizing the event as a one-sided assault rather than a mutual combat situation. We also recovered a series of handwritten notes from Panita's residence during a search warrant execution that further detailed his obsession with the perceived betrayal. These notes were disorganized and filled with vitriol, documenting a man who had spent months ruminating on a single point of conflict until it became his entire reality. The evidence showed a clear path of premeditation, suggesting that the camping trip was not just a recreational getaway, but a pre-planned opportunity to isolate the victim in a location where help was miles away. The technical data from the GPS units used by the pair showed that they had scouted several locations before settling on the remote clearing on the rim. This level of preparation indicated that the violence was not a spontaneous eruption of heat-of-the-moment anger, but a calculated execution. The legal proceedings that followed the arrest were focused heavily on the physical and digital evidence we had painstakingly assembled. Pineda was charged with first-degree murder, and the prosecution utilized the audio recording and the forensic reconstruction to paint a clear picture of the final moments on the mountain. During the trial, the technical details of the ballistics and the cell tower data provided a framework that left very little room for a defense based on self-defense or accidental discharge. I watched as the jury reviewed the photos of the campsite, seeing the stark contrast between the peaceful wilderness and the violent end that Stephen Bengel met. The testimony from the forensic experts reinforced the narrative of a calculated ambush, highlighting the distance between the shell casings and the position of the body. Pineda sat silently through most of the proceedings, showing little reaction as the evidence of his jealousy and subsequent actions was laid out for the court. The impact of the crime was felt deeply by the community and the families involved, as the senseless nature of the motive struggled to find a place within the logical structure of the law. Ultimately, the weight of the recorded evidence and the forensic trail led to a conviction. The court found that Robert Pineda had acted with malice and premeditation, intentionally leading his friend into the wilderness with the intent to end his life. In early 2024, The sentencing phase concluded with Panita being ordered to serve a term of natural life in the Arizona Department of Corrections, without the possibility of parole. The case of Stephen Bengel remains a haunting example of how private resentment can manifest into public tragedy when isolated in the vastness of the backcountry. The Mogollon Rim has since returned to its natural state, the campsite cleared, and the forest floor reclaimed by the seasons. Yet the official record preserves the details of that September night. There is a finality in the legal outcome that provides a resolution to the investigative process, though it cannot restore the life that was lost in the clearing. Stephen was remembered by those who knew him as a man who loved the outdoors and valued the bonds of friendship, unaware that the person standing across from him at the fire had traded those values for a lethal obsession. The investigation concluded with the filing of all evidence and the closing of the case file, leaving behind a series of documented facts that stand as a testament to the work of the forensic teams and the detectives who navigated the rim. The audio tape, the shell casings, and the digital logs remain as the cold, hard reality of a friendship that ended in the dark. As I reflect on the investigation, the primary takeaway is the absolute clarity provided by modern forensics in the face of human deception. The wilderness may be silent, but the evidence it holds speaks with a precision that cannot be ignored or silenced by the passage of time. The file is now complete and archived within the records of the state, serving as the definitive account of the investigation into the death of Stephen Bengel.